This is Word Radio. Our thanks to Ezel Aviation for generously supporting Warbird Radio. To find out more, visit them online at EzelAviation.com. That's EzelAviation.com.
What a kick to be part of Warbird Radio with Big Band Jump, heard several times each week. I'm Don Kennedy, host of BBJ, inviting you to tune in, take off with Warbird Radio.
Hey folks, it's Ryan Keough from Warbird Information Exchange. Join us every Wednesday evening here on Warbird Radio for WIX Warbird Weekly Live, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, with rebroadcasts throughout the week. You've been on the WIX Internet Forum, one of the world's best for Internet Warbird discussion. Now we're coming to you live and on the air. Tune in, take off to discuss the hot topics in Warbirds around the world this week, along with our guests who are working hard to keep them flying well into the future. Call in, write in, or even Skype in to add your voice to the conversation. WIX wants to hear from you. Again, that's WIX Warbird Weekly Live, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, only here on Warbird Radio.
Now showing on AeroCinema.com.
The fatality rate among those bombing crews and planes was 50%. Half survived, half died. That last mission, which I think was the worst one we had, the Germans were pulling their aircraft guns back as they were driven west by the Russians and driven east by General Patton. We had 110 holes in that airplane. I believed 100% in the American war in World War II. We had no alternative. Hitler was gobbling up one country after another.
The Logbook Series featuring George McGovern, now showing on AeroCinema.com.
This is Warbird Radio.
Hi, and welcome to the RC Scale Builder Show. Today is Tuesday, April 27th, 2010. I'm your host, Mike Chilson, and I want to welcome you to the show tonight. Whether you're listening live or listening to our podcast on Warbird Radio or rebroadcast, we're glad you're here with us tonight. Man, it's already the end of April. I can't believe how fast this year is flying by. And speaking of fast, I want to introduce our guest tonight. Mr. Merlin Graves is with us. Welcome to the show, Merlin.
Well, thanks, Mike. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, I'm glad you're here. You know, I had to invite you. Well, first, let me say this. For those of you that don't know Merlin, Merlin builds really big airplanes really fast, okay? That's when people ask me about Merlin, that's what I tell them. And he's a fantastic builder. I consider him one of the top 10 builders in the world. I mean, he's really good. But I had to invite you to the show tonight, Merlin, to slow you down some.
Well, I always need a break now and then, you know.
Well, you know, you're making the rest of us look really bad, buddy.
Oh, well, you know, somebody's got to do it.
Well, look, folks, we're going to be discussing lots of stuff here tonight with Merlin. So if you'd like to participate, in just a few minutes, we're going to open up phone lines. So stick around, and we'd love to hear from you. But let's get into this, Merlin. Why don't you tell everybody, first of all, maybe how you got started in radio control, maybe radio control scale?
Well, it was right after I got abducted by aliens, you know, in my blood. my dad got me started back in, when he got back in the war, like 46 or something like that. First thing he did was build a couple of carrier control line. They're not, yeah, control line, Yukis.
Yeah.
And, of course, that got me interested in those. And so I started doing my own building things back then and did a little Yuki's for a while. But seeing I was raised out in Colorado, out in the middle of the plains, we had a lot of wide open spaces. So I eventually kind of drifted into free flights because we just, you know, I could go out to the prairie and fly them anywhere. So I did free flights for quite a few years until I got into girls in college, you know, so kind of had a little hiatus from that point on.
that always tends to break your life.
Yeah, that breaks it up a little bit. But I think it was back in, about 63, though, I built my first RC airplane. It was a half-A Goldberg Skylane with a Bonner rubber band escapement, citizenship radio. You know, one button, one left, one right, or two left. One right, two left. And had a good time with that. Had a couple of them fly away from me, which was pretty common back in those days.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as the hobby progressed and I got into more sophisticated things like, you know, Aristocraft servos. Oh, wow. And now I had electronics, one right, two left, and three for throttle. But
yeah.
But, you know, so it just kind of progressed from there. And over the years, after I got married and out of school, I started building stuff again, built a lot of, you know, kits, Goldberg kits, Top Flight kits, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And just kept progressing until, about 79, when the giant scale movement kind of got started.
Right.
And, I think my first plan build airplane then was a Don Godfrey quarter scale Sturman. Back in 79, I built that thing and had a, you know, big old 3.7 Roper, which shipped like three lawnmowers, and took that out to the QSAA fly-in because QSAA was just getting started, Quarter Scale Association of America, and took that out to Vegas. In fact, we shipped them out there in caskets as dead bodies, but that's another story. and then just kind of progressed from there into the bigger stuff, and I keep making balsa.
Well, you know, they continue to keep getting bigger and bigger. I've noticed that, so.
Yeah, it gets, it's almost getting to the point now where I'm going to have to start going a little bit smaller. I keep saying that, but that doesn't seem to happen.
I understand. Well, look, folks, if you'd like to join in on the conversation tonight and maybe ask some questions of Merlin or maybe make some comments, you can call us at 478-787-4768. Or if you have Skype, you can Skype us at Warbird Radio. Or you can email us at live@rcscalebuilder.com. Well, you know, let's just get right into it. Let's talk about this current project that you're working on, this Hellcat. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it for those few people that don't know about what we're talking about?
Yeah, it's what I'm building right now is 120-inch F-4 or 5 or whatever it is, Hellcat. Mm-hmm. I'm not much of a historian. It's unlike a lot of my airplanes, because I like to do a lot of my own designing, but you know, it's a pretty common airplane, but not in this size. So what I did was I looked at the Zeroli plans and I looked at the Jerry Bates plans and decided to build it from Jerry's plans. He's got some, I mean, his plans are really nicely detailed and everything.
Oh, yeah.
So, I blew that thing up, and in fact, tonight I just put the first coat of color on. So,
wow.
Working away on that, and it's been a nice little deviation.
Well, I think we're going to have to get you back a few more nights if you don't slow down some. So, it's getting kind of ridiculous, Merlin. But,
well, flying season's coming up, you know, that'll slow me down.
I hear you. Hey, look, we got a caller. Looks like we got John Williams on. Calling in from Australia. John, are you there, buddy?
Yeah, g'day, Mike. How are you?
Hey, John, how are you?
Good. Good.
What can we do for you tonight? We got Merlin Graves on the line with us here. Anything you want to ask him or comment on?
I've been following his thread there, and it's quite interesting, actually.
Yes.
Because I'm not going to tell you what I'm doing. Along with the Messenger and the Firefly, and that's also one of Jerry's Hellcats.
Ah, okay, okay. Well, super. Well, that's super.
I haven't put that on a thread, though.
I got you. I got you. Too many airplanes and not enough time, right?
Absolutely.
That's always the problem.
Yeah. So how are things going down under, John?
Oh, very good. We had our big military competition on the weekend just gone. You know, the one I was talking to you about at Wagga. Right. And that went quite well. Weather wasn't favorable, but it was raining on the Saturday and then the helling wind on the Sunday, but we all flew.
Wow.
So, yeah, we all came home with planes.
Well, that's always a good thing. You know, it's nice to know that other countries get crappy weather at fly-ins and contests also. So, well, John, thanks for calling in and checking in with us, buddy. It's always a pleasure to hear from you.
Not a problem, Mike. You take care, and that's a good show.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, mate.
All right. Isn't that amazing, Merlin? People, we can just talk to people in Australia.
Yeah, that's so fantastic, you know, this website that you created down here, because I have, you know, made so many acquaintances and friends and from all over the world. It's just like when I was doing, putting together the plans for my Fokker G1, which is a pretty obscure airplane. Mm-hmm. I could not believe the response I got, you know, from the Netherlands and all over Europe, all over the place, people sending me three views and helping me out. And it's just fantastic what you created here and the camaraderie we get with our worldwide as opposed to just, you know, our local organizations that we've been used to all these years.
Well, I appreciate that, Merlin, and I'll send you that $5 for saying that.
Five. Where you come up with these cheap ass names?
Hey, look, I think we got another caller holding.
Okay.
Hello, caller, are you there?
Hey, Mike, this is Forrest. How are you doing?
Hey, Forrest, how you doing, buddy?
Forrest, how you doing there, buddy?
Good, Merlin, how are you?
Super duper.
Mike,
what's
first
happening?
Time I've called in, but I listen to your show a lot in my workshop. It's great. I appreciate what you're doing.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. We love you guys listening in the workshop. That's the best place to listen to it, you know? And we try and time it where you'll be there. But so what are you working on in the workshop, Forrest?
Well, I'm tightening up some rigging on my Proctor Albatross. I flew it Saturday and broke a couple of flying wires, so did a little work on that tonight.
Gotcha. Well, can you believe we got this old man on the show with us tonight? I mean, you know, I can't believe we're able to pull him away from building for 5 minutes.
Well, we're fortunate to have him. Merlin, I really enjoyed meeting you when you've been down south. And my question for you is, when are you coming back? I'm sure you'll be at Max. How about Joe Nall? Are you going to come to that?
Yeah, definitely I'll be at Max and no, I won't be at Joe Nall. But there are a couple other ones down the south that I'm going to try and make this year. Man, I'll tell you, the proliferation of Warbird events has gotten so heavy that, you know, you just can't go everywhere anymore.
Yeah.
You just got your pick of some place or five or six places every weekend somewhere in the country. So it's tough to make all of them.
Oh, yeah. Well, Forrest, well, thanks for calling in, buddy. Call in again sometime. We'd love to just talk to you and hear what's going on with you.
Glad to do it, Mike. We'll talk to you later. I'll be listening.
All right. Take care, pal.
Hey, take it easy. That Albatross is pretty good looking there. I saw it on the site there.
Oh, thank you, sir. I've been enjoying it.
Yeah. Get into that World War I stuff. A little easy and relaxing.
Yeah. There you go.
Y'all have a good night.
Thank you, Forrest. You know, what's amazing to me is down here in the Southeast, you know, we have a Warbird event every other weekend during flights.
I think it's like every weekend just about.
Well, you know, organized was, let me rephrase that. But, but yeah, you know, there's a lot of them down here. And it's tough to, you know, it's tough to have an event down here, Merlin, because, you know, you're trying to dodge all the other ones and find a slot where you're not going to interfere with anybody. I mean, it's pretty bad.
Man, that's just horrible.
It's terrible, you know?
Well, hopefully I'm going to be able to participate a little more than that because if things work out here, I'm going to be moving to Florida next year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I'll be a lot closer to a lot of the southern events than I have been, you know, because it's usually, you know, like it's a 17-hour drive for me to go down to Max.
Yeah.
And, you know, as much as I enjoy it, I mean, that's a lot of driving, so
sure.
I can't do too many of those every year. But once I get down down there, I'll be making a swing right up in that area a lot more frequently than I have been able to up here.
Well, that's awesome. That's all, you know, you heard it here first, folks. The master's moving to Florida.
Yep.
Now, you know,
out of service for about a year, and when I get to, you know, that's the trouble with moving, and you got to build a new shop and all that other stuff.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you the secret about the South, and you know how you've got a building season now. Well, your building season will be moved to the middle of summer.
Yep. I've already figured I can make that transition without any problem.
Yeah. So. It's just too darn hot. So.
Yeah. Well, it's either stay out of the snow or stay out of the heat, you know.
Yeah. There you go. But now, you know, you got to promise me something, though, that once you move down to Florida, you will not start complaining about everything and moving and driving at 5 miles an hour and going to the restaurant at 4 p.m. for supper.
I'm not that old.
Okay. I just want to make sure. I just want to make sure.
No. I promise you, Mike. I promise you.
Well, folks, if you'd like to join in on the conversation tonight, give us a call at 478-787-4768. We'd love to hear from you. Skype us at Warbird Radio or email us at live@rcskillbuilder.com. Well, let me ask you something, Merlin. You know, we kind of know about the planes that you've built on the site. Are there some other ones maybe before that we don't know about? I think everybody knows about the Vulcan. That one just kind of stood out. But
well, you know, the thing about the Vulcan is that's my favorite. That's my favorite airplane of any airplane I have ever built. That airplane was so much fun to fly. If I wasn't flying it, I was dreaming about flying it.
Wow.
I miss that airplane, something terrible, but that was a heck of a project. That's not going to happen again.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, it's amazing. What's amazing to me about that airplane is you were able to get four ducted fans to run simultaneously, you know, so.
Yeah, those OS-91s, once you get those babies dialed in, I never had a problem with any problem with them keeping a runner or start. I remember the first time I flew with Mac Hodges. We were at a fly-in out in Deland, Florida. And we were doing demo. That's back when the airplanes that size, you could only do demo flights on. You couldn't fly in the general flying.
Right.
And so Mac and I were going to go up and fly, and I come up to the flight line with my Vulcan, and he says, I heard him say, oh, my God, we'll be here all day while this guy gets this airplane going, you know. And, man, I zip, zip, boom, boom, the four of them are running, and off I went. And Mac tells me about that all day. He says, I can't believe you did that.
That's amazing. But yeah, it's a pretty airplane for sure. So you know, speaking of not doing one of those again, what do you got in mind for the future? You got anything on the horizon you want to tell us about?
Well, I definitely want to get that Beach Starship built.
Yeah.
Because my plans were, and I got derailed on that this year because I was going to build it this winter, but with the Hellcat coming up like it did, doing one of a buddy of mine so we could have two to fly, I got put aside. And hopefully it won't get derailed much longer unless this move puts a corruption in it. But that's the next big one I'm going to build, one way or the other, is going to be that Beach Starship.
Gotcha.
That's going to be, you know, I keep thinking maybe I'll win the lotto and I can put, you know, turbines in it, turboprops.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
A little expensive to get a counter-rotating pusher turbine.
Yeah. That's such an interesting subject. I mean, you know, we've got one here. I'd sent you those pictures of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I was walking around looking at that thing, it was just amazing.
Oh, it's just got such awesome lines to it, you know. I keep dreaming about, you know, taking that thing off and flying it and seeing the profile in the air and stuff, so.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to happen.
Well, that's cool. So what are you thinking about after that? Anything in particular? You got any other favorites that you'd like to do?
You know, I haven't really thought that much past because of the pending move.
Mm-hmm.
That's gonna put a crimp into my plans, and I really haven't. I did see a cool Russian airplane the other day. It looks kind of like a mosquito. and on a calendar my kids gave me. I can't remember what the name of it was. I can't pronounce those Russian names anyway, but it's something I've never seen out, you know. And I, you know, I like to build things people don't have out there. So
yeah,
I'll come up with something. But first, I got to get that Starship out.
I understand. Hey, look, I think we got another caller. Caller, are you there?
I'm here, Mikey. How you doing tonight, there, boss?
Good. This must be Alan.
This is me. How are you doing, Marlon? How are you, buddy? I ain't seen you in a while.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing well. Sorry, I missed you at WOG last year. I had a significant other want me home, so.
Oh, well, that tends to put a crimp in your style, you know?
Yeah, I guess I owe you a doers.
Yeah, well, I'll pick you up on that.
All righty. You know, Mike, you were telling him he builds really big airplanes really fast. Mm-hmm. I actually just went on the site, and it's been 6 months and 15 days since he had the picture of the three tracks up.
It's amazing. I'm telling you, man. You know, I had to get him on the show to slow him down. Alan, I call him about once a month, and I say, you've got to slow down.
Well, I also did some other research, too, while I was there. I went to a certain Stangapalooza thread.
Yeah?
And it turns out you started September 1st of 08.
Well, let me explain this to you. Let me explain this to you. I am not retired like some people on the line here. You know.
I could still build one a year when I wasn't retired. I don't know what your problem is.
That's okay. It took me dang near 2 years to build that little arrow.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, well, you've been chugging away the arrow. You got that thing almost ready to go, don't you?
Yeah, it's actually ready for a test flight.
Super.
Awesome.
Just waiting on the weather now.
Well, good deal. Well, good deal.
Well, Merlin,
well thanks for calling in, Alan.
No worries, Merlin. You keep building. I'll keep watching. Learning.
Okay. And I'll hold you in that doers.
Absorbing into the gray matter.
Yeah, right.
Y'all have a good night.
Thanks, Alan. Thanks for
you
calling.
You too, Alan. Take it easy.
I tell you, there's some nice guys on the site. We have some good folks.
Unbelievable. It's just, you know, it's just, I just can't say enough about how enjoyable the site is. And there's so much to learn and so many people to get acquainted with. And it's just, you know, phenomenal.
You know, something Ron Berg said to me once, which I never really realized until he said this. He said, you know, used to you had to rely on someone in your club teaching you all this stuff. And it would take 15 years of experience of screwing up and redoing and to learn all these things. And, you know, now, you know, you get in there and you see what other people are doing, and before you know it, you're able to do it too, you know?
Oh, yeah.
No time at all.
Most phenomenal teaching and learning device. It's one of the greatest things we've got going now, you know, to keep this hobby going in terms of building. Is sites like this that people interact and help each other out and learn from. Otherwise, you know, with the advent of ARFs and everything coming in, we could be a dying breed. But
this is,
I think, pumped some new life into this aspect of the hobby.
Well, I hope so, and I really do appreciate your participation. I mean, the information you put up there is so valuable. And entertaining, and everyone enjoys it. You know, it's really really incredible the amount of work you put into those threads.
So. Well, it's so much fun doing that. You know,
yeah.
That's what happens when you're just a big show off. You know.
Well, you know. Hey, I think we got Mitch Baker calling in to ask you a question. Mitch, are you there?
No, we're not talking to Mitch.
Are you around, Mitch?
Oh yeah, I'm here. How you doing?
Okay, hey. you got 2 minutes, Mitch. Go.
Oh, Merlin, I just wanted to quick. I know you build for one thing. I try not to look at your threads because it makes me so jealous. I'm not going to be able to even have half the talent you have by the time I am Mike's age. But I wanted to ask about, you know, you build extremely large aircraft and how that fits in with, you know, AMA, the larger than 55-pound aircraft, and liabilities and things like that. Because we got this discussion going on with the Scale Masters about allowing larger than, you know, 55-pound aircraft and how that may affect and other people flying with them and things like that.
Well, you know, I mean, that part of the hobby has come so far. You know, back, 10 to 15 years ago, like I was mentioning before, you could only fly anything over 55 pounds just as a specified demo at any meet. But it's been, five or six years ago since those rules relaxed, and you can fly, as long as you have the meet the guidelines, you have the inspections, you can fly just like anybody else. And I think it was 2 years ago that they opened that up, because previous to that, they said 55 and above could not be entered any competitions. But I know now they have relaxed that restriction. Because the airplanes, back in those days, everything was experimental. Nobody knew anything about building big airplanes and how to keep them together and make them safe. And we had an excellent safety record in large scale aircraft. And I think that has contributed to the EMA realizing that these airplanes aren't anything different than anything else, and that if done properly, they're just as safe and controllable and can be flown in the same circumstances.
I think one of the things we're hearing from this side is it's not necessarily the AMA that's having the problems. It's the FAA that's because it's starting now to infringe on the UAV stuff, where there's gray lines now between what is considered UAV for commercial use, and then you have what the AMA calls the experimental aircraft, which is larger than 55 pounds, and I think that's where the battle is right now.
Yeah, there is, unfortunately, because of the 9/11 thing, the limelight was brought on our aspect of the hobby that somebody could use these in a disastrous fashion. But that's true of a lot of different things. And hopefully, at this point, the AMA, as far as I know, is the only really voice that we've got to interact with the FAA and get our two cents worth in there so that we don't wind up with having a lot of restrictions on us based on those kind of fears.
Right. And I just want to say thanks for everything you do out there, because you building and flying those type aircraft helps a lot. And anybody listening that wants to keep seeing Merlin build this, make sure they voice their opinions to AMA as far as to keep that voice heard in with the FAA to us. And thanks for your threads, Merlin. You do a great job, and I'm just in awe watching you work at times.
Thanks, Mitch. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Have a good one.
All right.
You too.
Ditto what Mitch said there. For better or for worse, the AMA is our voice, and we need to support them every way we can.
Well, that's true, because, so many of these I hear so many people say, what does the AMA do for you? I mean, these people just don't realize all the behind-the-scenes activity that goes on, on a governmental level that has to be done to keep our right and our freedom to do and participate in this great hobby.
That's right. And
we need that type of an organization to make ourselves heard, because it's numbers, and if we got a large enough number and can – we have a better chance of swaying somebody's opinion.
That's absolutely correct. Well, let me ask you something, Merlin, changing direction a little bit. What advice would you give someone who wants to get into scale building? Do you have maybe some tips and things you would share or that you share with people that want to get into it?
Well, getting into scale building is, first of all, don't get ahead of yourself. If you want to start getting into scale, you've got to creep into it like everybody does, especially if you're getting into heavy metal warbirds and stuff like that, because they're a different animal to fly and a different animal to build. So, if you're going to do that, you need to start with something that's a kit. Everybody should be building a lot of kits when they're getting into that, because there's a proven airplanes and proven construction techniques. And they should build different manufacturers of kits, because by doing that, they get experience with different ways of looking at things, and then that helps them to be able to develop their own techniques, because everybody winds up with their own particular way they like to do things. But you gain that experience by exposure of different methods, and the site and the internet type of thing, where you get to see and participate in all different aspects of it to show you all these ways to get into it. But you got to creep in there slowly and have patience. You can't go out there and build a 120-inch P-38 for your first scale airplane. You've got to get in there and be reasonable, and then you'll be a lot more successful.
That's good advice. That's what I tell everybody is to be patient and ask lots of questions. Get lots of experience under your belt. That's good advice. That's for life, too, you know?
Yeah, for everything.
Yeah. Hey,
I think I've learned that lesson.
I think I've almost learned it, Merlin. I'm not quite. I still do stupid stuff, but, you know. We all do that somewhat, I guess. Hey, Mike from Ohio emailed in, and he wanted to know if you or myself are planning on attending the Southern Dawn Patrol this year in December.
That's the one at Max. Is that the one he's talking about?
That's the one, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because I was down there last year. And, yeah, I plan on coming back this year, definitely.
Well, awesome, yeah. Well, you know, I would love to come, Mike, but I don't have a World War One airplane, you know. They got too many strings on them for me. I mean, wires, not strings, sorry.
You know, did you ever hear the word ARF? You got to start somewhere.
Let me tell you, you know, I love those airplanes. Don't get me wrong. And I would love to have one. But I tell you, the biggest turnoff I saw one day was watching a guy put together three beautiful museum quality World War One airplanes. He started at 8 a.m. and finished about 11.
Well, yeah, especially if they're biplanes. I mean, yeah. you know you're going to spend 40 minutes to an hour to put one together and to take it apart.
That's right.
But, you know, you can build a nine-decker or something like that. You don't have to have a big old biplane with 400 strings on it.
Well, you know, once again, too many airplanes. You know, I've got a kit for a quarter-scale nine-decker. I just, you know, it's in the queue, so to speak. But,
yeah, a little Bristol Bullet or something simple like that.
There you go. But I, you know, may make it down anyway, regardless of whether I bring
Yeah, come on down. You can fly my pup.
I tell you what, man, if I come down there, me and you may have to, they may have to come bail us out of jail and you know.
We can do that too, you know, send Berg down to bail us out or something.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There you go. Remind me to tell you some stories about that place down there. I have some. But we'll get into them at Georgia. But look, I really appreciate you coming on the show tonight.
Hey, it was my pleasure. I had a great time.
Now, I see it wasn't quite that bad, was it?
Oh, no. You know, I guess it's passable.
Well, you know what? We got one more caller. Let's sneak that caller in before we get out of here.
Okay.
Caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Speaking of Southern Dawn Patrol, this is Dale Cavan. Hello, Merlin.
Hey, Dale, old buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Are you going to make it to Max in June?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, fantastic.
That's my first one on the schedule this year.
Yeah, good. I really enjoyed watching your Hellcat build, and unlike the rest of the guys that call in I'm still just a hacker at stuff, but, you know, try to piece together what all you guys do and what you're doing with the bigger planes and all really is an incentive to try new projects and try new possibilities.
Yeah, well, we like to broaden our horizons, you know.
Well, I tell you, everybody enjoys watching Merlin. I don't know of anyone that doesn't. So,
well, that's a fact. And I tell you what, when you meet him in person, you'll see why, because he's just
a
great guy. And
he is.
You know, he's been down here to our event a couple of years ago for an IMAA event. And then, you know, I've seen him at a number of other events and stuff. And like he said, he came to Southern Dawn Patrol last year, and just he adds a little life to all the parties.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, if you can't have a good time, what's the point?
That's right.
You got it. And Mike, you need to come on to Southern Dawn Patrol. We'll find you an airplane to fly.
Okay. That's a date then. Sign me up. I'll be there.
You guys have a good evening.
All right. You too, Dale. Thanks for calling in, buddy. All right. Well, that was Dale. You know, he puts on, that's really a nice event, and it's amazing how fast it's growing, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's such a great facility down there with Max, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like dreamland as far as a place to fly.
Yeah.
You know, so it's even though it's 17 hours away, I love going down there.
Well, Merlin, I want to take a minute and thank you for everything that you do on the site, your threads you post, the help you give people. It really is appreciated by everyone, and I want you to know that I'm sure I speak for everyone when I say that just a hearty thank you for that.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, it's something I enjoy, and keep right on doing.
Well, I hope so, and, you know, Mike from Ohio emailed back, and he said, "We have four between us already assembled. You're more than welcome to fly one of them." So I guess there's no excuse now. So
there's no excuse. You're committed.
That's right. That's right. Well, look, I look forward to seeing you in June. And
okay, very good.
It's always my pleasure. You're going to have to go eat dinner with us one night.
Oh, well, one night.
Well, every night. Every night. Follow me.
Okay.
All right, pal. Well, thanks for coming on the show. And, folks, it's Merlin Graves. Be sure and check out his thread. Get out there and Google his name on Google, and you will see some of the incredible things that he builds. I mean, if you don't know him already. So thanks again, Merlin. And hopefully we come back sometime and we'll talk some more.
Sure, be glad to.
Awesome, awesome. Because I have to slow you down some, you know.
Okay, yeah, I need a little creepy there.
Thanks, pal. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thanks a lot, Mike.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That was Merlin Graves. And, man, I tell you what, I will go on record as saying I don't think I've ever met a nicer person face-to-face than Merlin. You know, he's so upbeat and so positive about things. He's just a great guy. If you ever get a chance to meet him, go up and shake his hand. He loves to talk about airplanes, and he's just a nice guy. But anyway, hopefully, if any of you get to come to Warbirds over Georgia, you'll get to meet him if you haven't already. Well, folks, we're going to take a quick break and pay some bills here, but thanks for listening, and we'll be right back after these messages.
You're strapped in to Warbird Radio. Tune in. Take off.
Our thanks to Ezel Aviation for generously supporting Warbird Radio. To find out more, visit them online at ezelaviation.com. That's ezelaviation.com.
Hi, this is Mike Chilson of the RC Scale Builder Show. If you're interested in radio control scale modeling, you should check us out at rcscalebuilder.com. It's a great community that offers build threads, tips and tricks, aircraft walkarounds, free plans, and much more. You can find us at www.rcscalebuilder.com. Hope to see you there.
The RC Scale Builder Show broadcasts weekly right here on Warbird Radio.
Now, this is Don Kennedy, host of Big Band Jump, a part of Warbird Radio. Tune in, take off with the excitement of Warbird Radio.
6 August, 1945. The day that changed the world.
This provoked a moral debate which endures until today.
Experience that debate.
I don't think that the decision to drop the atomic bomb on Japan was particularly controversial at the time.
You can moralize all you like, and you can bring in, you know, 21st century rhetoric.
The revisionists wrote their side of the story.
They, of course, immediately began presenting themselves as the victim.
Yes, there was another way.
We would have had to invade Japan, and we would have lost 1 million men.
Pilots, generals, and scholars discuss The Atomic Dilemma, now playing on AeroCinema.com.
This is Warbird Radio.
And welcome back to the RC Scale Builder Show. Whether you're listening live or listening on our podcast, we're glad you could join us tonight. And if you're listening on the podcast, unfortunately, you can't call in or send the trivia question. So please please don't bother doing that. We get those from time to time, and I don't think people realize they're listening to a rebroadcast. But anyway, enough about that. Man, that was great having Merlin on. I believe we have Mr. Ron Berg here tonight with us to give us another modeling-related DVD review. Ron, are you around?
Hello, Mr. Chilson. What are we looking at? Is this episode 20 now?
Yeah, this is it, man. Episode 20, I believe.
Right along, and for your 20th episode, you scheduled a rock star there with Merlin.
Well, I tell you what, he's something else. And like I said, anybody that's ever met him knows exactly what I'm talking about. So,
yeah, he's a great one to hang with at a fly-in. I believe if R.C. Scalebiller never became his own country, he would be our ambassador to the U.N.
He would. So, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine, doing well. I had a little medical malady last week, but we're getting over that. Had some problems with allergic reaction to some medication, so I guess I'm getting too old to do the drugs there. But we're moving right ahead. And I kind of thought it's kind of ironic, because listened to the rebroadcast of the show before, and it was a couple weeks ago, and I decided to do a review on a video that I've got for vacuum bagging techniques. I thought it's kind of ironic. The show is kind of like Matt knew what I was going to do, because it said on there, you know, Ron, what are you going to do next week? I said, I'll do vacuum bagging techniques. So that was a couple weeks ago, but works out. The video that I've got is put out by a company called Aerospace Composite Products, and this video, it's a one DVD set that sells for $19.95, and it's basic techniques on vacuum bagging. I want to explain a little bit about that, because I think probably some of the other builders are not really aware or don't really understand what vacuum bagging is, but probably the best example I could give of what vacuum bagging is kind of like seal-a-meal. You know, you take a little bag and you put a chicken breast in there, and you hook it up to a vacuum pump. It sucks all the air out, and it seals the chicken breast and preserves it. Well, if you was to think of that chicken breast as a wing, a foam core wing, you put your fiberglass cloth on there, wet it out, squeegee it out, and get the excess off. Then you can slide it into that bag and then use a vacuum pump, and you pull a vacuum down on it. And it takes all the air out, but what it does is it clamps your fiberglass cloth to the wing surface, holds it in place while it cures. You get a much smoother, much more uniform finish on your fiberglass than you would that if you just squeezed it out by hand, set back, and let it cure on its own. You know, Mike, you know, when, you know, most of the people do the built-up wings, and I know you do that as well, when you get through fiberglass and then it cures, well, then you've got, your work has just begun. You've got to sand it, and you've got to level it, and you've got to add spot putty here and there, and it's quite a bit of work getting it prepared. Well, if you use a vacuum bagging system properly, take your time and do it right, you can literally slide a wet wing into the bag, cure it for 48 hours, pull it out, light sand it, and it's ready for paint.
Yeah.
And you can also, there's, you know, a little bit more advanced techniques. You can take Mylar sheet and you wax it, and then spray spray the wax side of the Mylar sheeting with primer, let that dry, and then you put your cloth on the wing, you wet it out, you squeegee it out, and then lay the Mylar sheet on top of that paint side down, slide it in the bag, and when you pull it out, you peel the Mylar sheet off, and you have a primed painted wing ready to go.
Wow.
Pretty amazing little system.
Yeah,
this video, like I said, it's available on the website. There'll be a link on the show tonight. And it's sold by Aerospace Composite Products, and they also sell everything that you need to do with it. You can, you know, some of the equipment can get a little bit pricey, but somebody with a little bit of ingenuity can, and you can take an old air conditioner compressor off of a refrigerator and use that as a vacuum pump and do the same thing as you would do with the prettier, higher priced equipment. So, you know, a modeler with a little bit of ingenuity can always figure out ways to save money and get the same results.
Yeah. Well, how much is this DVD?
Our DVD is $19.95. It's probably an hour and a half long. And
wow.
You're not going to have any questions about what you would be doing with it after you watch the DVD. But if people are kind of curious, you can always go on YouTube and just do a search on vacuum bagging you know, things of that nature, and you'll get all kinds of little videos where people show you how to do it, and it'll explain itself real quickly.
Gotcha. Well, that's cool, Ron. Well, thanks for coming on, man. We're kind of running short on time tonight, but you got something for us next week planned out?
I haven't decided what I'm going to do. I'll take a look at what I've got there. We'll figure something out and surprise you.
That'd be good. I appreciate it, and I hope you get feeling better.
Oh, we're getting there. Today was the second good day. the last seven.
Well, just remember, it's nothing that a shot of penicillin won't take care of.
A shot of whiskey or something.
All right, pal. Thanks for calling in and giving that information to us. I'll post that on the topic for this week's show.
Thanks a lot for those of you out there.
And thanks for calling in, Ron. And we're going to move right along here because we're kind of running short. But we've got our subject-seeking segment with Mitch Baker. Mitch, are you around, pal? Hello, Mitch.
Yeah, hello.
Hey, hello. There you are. Step away for a minute.
I'm here.
Okay. What you got tonight for us, Mitch?
Well, tonight we're going to talk a little bit about somebody emailed in about during the show a couple of weeks back, the Bolton Paul Defiant. Interesting aircraft there. Defiant has the distinction of actually being the first British fighter that to actually have more than two machine guns on it. Late 30s, the British sent out specs for a fighter in which all its guns would be facing the rear. This was a concept that they took on from World War I, actually, in the idea of they call a turret fighter. The idea was for the aircraft to be able to fly up through a bomber formation from underneath, and as they're flying by underneath, the gunner there would have a full range of firing arc to wreak havoc and devastation among the bomber formation.
Gotcha.
The first flights were flown in 37, and it was actually deployed in 1940. Even though the Defiant had some early successes, the limitations were soon known and highly exploited by the German Luftwaffe. It was not a high-performance aircraft because of the weight of the turret, being a hydraulically powered turret, and it also sported four 303 machine guns. So maneuverability was a big issue with it as well. Despite that, those deficiencies, the Defiant was converted into a night fighter, night interceptor, in which it actually proved to have much better success. Said before, the turret was hydraulically powered, and it had four 303 machine guns. And really, like you said, the early successes, you know, an enemy coming up on that, not expecting a quote-unquote fighter aircraft to have four machine guns facing at it, would definitely get a real shock.
Yeah.
As unusual as this thing is, it's also very rarely modeled. And that was another reason I kind of liked doing it, because it is a very there isn't that much out there in the ways of kits and plans. A lot of it is small stuff. I found on the website the plan page some
construction article from an old magazine and some plans for a small rubber band one, which actually could be converted to electric. Also, site Easy Built Models has a small rubber band powered aircraft that could also be converted to electric. That's the amazing thing about electrics these days. You can take a lot of those models that couldn't do anything with before but rubber band, and now you can actually turn them into an RC aircraft. And also RCM has a set of plans from David Anderson for 73-inch wingspan model of that aircraft. So the opportunity's there for somebody that wants to scratch build, you know, and try to compete with Merlin in his scratch building techniques, which I don't know of many people that can compete. You know, he's up there in the class with Nigel and some of those other guys that we know and love dearly.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Mitch, thanks for calling in with that tonight. And, of course, we'll have you back next week for sure with another one. So that was a good subject, by the way. I was impressed with that. That's a good one, an oddball that you don't see modeled often. So find us another one like that. I know you can do it. You're the man.
We'll try what we can. I'm going to get back to the B40. Have a good one.
All right, pal. Thanks a lot. Okay, folks, that was Mitch Baker with our subject-seeking segment. If you have a subject you would like for him to do a little research on, shoot us an email at live@rcscalebuilder.com, and we'll see what we can dig up for you. Now, speaking of digging things up, it's time for our trivia question for tonight. This is a really easy one. If you've been listening to the show, you can win yourself some CA glue. Okay, we're going to give away a bottle of thick and a bottle of thin Balsa USA gold CA glue. All you got to do is call in, Skype in, or email in your answer. Whoever gets it first will win this glue set. Okay, here's the question for tonight. Mitch was just talking about the Bolton Paul Defiant. Okay, what was the number of guns and their caliber on the Bolton Paul Defiance turret? Once again, what was the number of guns and their caliber on the Bolton Paul Defiance turret? If you think you know the answer to this, call us at 478-787-4768 or Skype us at Warbird Radio, or you can send an email to live@rcscalebuilder.com. Let me read the question one more time, just in case you missed it. What was the number of guns and their caliber in the Bolton Paul Defiance turret? Okay, so now's the time to call in and win some CA glue. And while we're waiting on a caller, let's talk about some upcoming events. This weekend, we've got Warbirds Over Alabama in Clanton, Alabama. That's actually one of the local clubs here. Let me stop this a second. I think we've got a caller. Caller, are you there?
I am here again, boss.
Alan, how are you?
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm going to say that it has 4.303 Browning machine guns on it.
That's absolutely correct. So the question was, what was the number of guns and their caliber in the Bolton Paul Defiance turret? And you said 4.303. Sir, you just won yourself 2 bottles of CA glue.
Very cool.
And if you would, shoot me your mailing address to live@rcscalebuilder.com, and I'll get that right out to you tomorrow.
I'll do that, boss man, and I reckon I'll see you in the chat room tomorrow sometime.
All right, thank you. Thank you for calling. All right. Yeah, all right.
No worries, boss. All right,
take care. And, okay, so that was Alan, and he actually won the CA glue set, so congratulations to him. Getting back to our upcoming events real quick. Like I said, we've got Warbirds Over Alabama in Clanton, Alabama this weekend. We've got Top Gun coming up April 28th through May 2nd in Lakeland, Florida, the big show. And the Mint Julep Skill Meet May 14th through the 16th in Falls of Rough, Kentucky. I'll be there. Mitch will be there. Bunch of folks from the site will be there, so if you can make it, be sure and come by and say hello and look us up. And if you have any upcoming events that you'd like to have us announced on the air, be sure and send them in to me or post it on the site or send me a PM or whatever. And we'll get that up for you. Well, folks, that's going to wrap it up tonight. Man, we had a busy show. It seems like the time just flew. You know, it's amazing to me how fast this thing goes by. I hope you enjoyed the show, and whether you're listening live or listening to a rebroadcast or a podcast, thanks for listening. We do this for you guys, and, you know, the fact that you listen really, really makes us feel good, and that's why we'll keep doing it as long as you want it. But we'll be back next week with another great guest and more information about what's going on in RC Scale. And thanks for listening, and be sure and stay tuned for more great programming here on Warbird Radio. And until next time, measure twice and cut once. Good night.